Jesus, speaking in John 12, 46 and 47, said these words, "I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Hello, everyone. This is Fred Barrows welcoming you to this radio broadcast. Brother Roger Decker, pastor of the Church of God here at God's Acres in Newark, wishes to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. He has asked Brother Larry Dishman from Hurley, Mississippi, to bring these thoughts to your heart for you to consider.
We'll ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, beginning in verse number 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Then I read in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse number 1, where he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I would like to speak on the subject, the peril of losing our burden for souls. If anyone ever had a burden for souls, it was our Lord Jesus Christ. Next to him, I believe, would be the Apostle Paul, who said something that many of us could never say, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." We might be tempted to say, "He didn't mean that." Well, he started out saying, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost." Paul was not exaggerating. Paul meant exactly what he said. He had a real soul burden, the peril of losing our soul burden. Soul winning is still our number one priority as the people of God. It's the desire of Jesus Christ that every member of his church be in the soul winning action for him. We sang a song sometimes, "Bringing in the sheaves." Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest in the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilly breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Are we bringing in the sheaves? On that day, will there be people who will say, "I'm here today because of you. I'm here today because of the burden you carried for me, the peril of losing our soul burden. The Bible says in Psalms 126 and verse number 5, he that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That has to do with going forth. He that goeth forth weeping. How much going are we doing? It lines up with the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, and verse number 15, when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody said, I can't go into all the world. All I can do is barely get out of Newark, Ohio. That's your world. Newark, Ohio, where you live, that's your world. And if all the people of God will go to those in their world with a burden for souls, we can have a greater impact on this lost and dying world. Matthew, the Great Commission, in the 28th chapter, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Are you concerned about the lost in your family? Do you have a heavy burden for the lost members of your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your daughter-in-laws, your son-in-laws, and on the list goes. Are you concerned for the lost? Are you concerned for the souls of the saints, those saints that attend this congregation that have close family members that's lost? Do you have a real concern for them? Are you concerned about your lost community? Are you concerned about the lost people in this world? Probably none of us have the same concern, the passion that Paul had for the lost. Have you ever felt your heart sink when you heard some bad news about somebody that you cared about? Has that ever happened to you? Paul had a driving force. No doubt that's what caused his work to be so effective. It's because of the burden that he had. Not only did he say, I went and preached the gospel, but he did it with tears. He did it with a burden. Why was Paul so concerned? What was he concerned about? Why did he feel such a deep grief, an ongoing sorrow? Because Paul knew without Jesus, his kinsmen were on their way to a devil's hell. He knew they needed to be saved. In fact, if you look to chapter 10 and verse number 1, we'll see why Paul was so burdened. He said, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is they may be saved. His main concern and his burden was that his people be saved. I'd like for you to take a look at your own heart. Are you slightly concerned for the lost? Or does God see in you a great continual burden for the lost? How does God see my heart? How does he see your heart? If we found out that our neighbor's house was on fire, would we be unconcerned? Just sit back and do nothing? No. We'd get up and we'd see if there's anything we could do to help the situation. We're usually more concerned about someone's physical well-being than we are their spiritual well-being. So let us pray that we will become more like the Apostle Paul and have a passionate concern for the lost. From Paul's example, we also learn that our burden for the lost souls should express itself in self-sacrifice. This is indicated in verse number 3, where Paul says, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was willing to take their place if so doing would save them. In fact, notice that Paul was willing to be accursed from Christ for his brethren. What an example of self-sacrificing. Amen. What an example of real concern for other people. Are you willing to make personal sacrifices to see others saved? That's what it takes, to be willing to make personal sacrifices. Having a desire and a willingness to sacrifice self for others is not even enough. We should also express that desire. Paul's willingness to put the interests of others ahead of his personal interests resulted in selfless action on his part. By his example, the Apostle Paul teaches us two of the primary ways concern for the lost should be translated into action. First of all, it's translated into action by our prayers for the lost. Paul said again in the 10th chapter in verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire, not only my heart's desire, but my prayer to God for Israel is they may be saved. That's one of the first ways we should express our burden and our concern for souls, by praying for them. When we are truly burdened, when we have a soul burden for the lost, we will go to God in prayer on their behalf, and we will ask others to pray as well. Friend, people do not get saved on their own. You know why? Romans 3:11 says, there is none who seeks after God. Your children, my children, my loved ones, your loved ones is not going to seek after God on their own. No man or no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. John 6:44. God must work in their lives. If you have a loved one, they're not just going to wake up one day and say, I'm going to start seeking God. God must work in their life. And one of the main ways we get God working in the lives of people is through prayer. Prayer is what causes God to begin to seek the sinner. Even so, we ought to be praying for the lost on a regular basis. And let me ask you something right now. Can you think of at least 3 people that you've been praying for to be saved? In your mind, can you think of 3 people that you've been carrying a burden for that they might get saved? If not, can you truly say that you are burdened for souls? Believe it or not, even praying is not enough. There's something else that we should do. A soul burden will not only cause us to pray for those that's not saved, it'll cause us to witness to people. People need someone to share the gospel with. Paul wrote unto the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, he called you by our gospel. It's not my plan, but it's God's plan. According to Romans 1, he said in verse number 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible says in the book of James, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The Bible says in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Friend, that eunuch was out there in the desert reading Isaiah chapter 53, but you know what? He did not understand. He didn't know what he was reading. He didn't know if he was talking about himself or someone else. God used a man. God sent a man. That's still God's plan. Somebody needs to witness. Somebody needs to preach the word of God. And it didn't take Philip very long, did it? He began to explain to him the word of God. And the eunuch said, well, right here is some water. What would hinder me from being baptized? And you just go on through the book of Acts. In Acts the 9th chapter, Saul, a lost sinner. Friend, God just didn't speak out of heaven and tell him what he wanted him to do in order to be saved. God sent him to a man to talk to him about his soul, a man by the name of Ananias. And if you turn the page to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there's another man that needed salvation, and his name was Cornelius. And God sent a man to preach the word of God. Amen. God sent somebody. Friend, it's not my plan. It's God's plan. He chose through the word of God to save them that believe. And you go on over to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and there the Philippian jailer had to hear from Paul and Silas. This is God's plan, and no wonder the Bible says in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse number 14, and there Paul said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him and who they not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Thank God, it's some good, glad tidings in the word of God that the sinner can be saved, that he can be set free from the bondage and the power of sin. Paul certainly translated his concern into many attempts to share the gospel with the Jewish people. He was even willing to suffer persecution in order to witness to them. Nevertheless, most Christians and most churches are not doing very well at being concerned about the lost and winning them to Jesus Christ. Too many times we isolate ourselves from the lost, and we're not doing enough, saints of God, to break down the barriers and get the gospel to our lost communities. Is your burden for the lost great enough that you'll make personal sacrifices to talk to people about their souls? Will you sacrifice your time to pray for the lost? Will you give someone the time to go talk to them, visit them, talk to them about their never dying soul? Or are you too busy? Will you give financially to support missionaries and others who are sharing the gospel? Every Christian, whatever his official title or role, should be characterized by a passion to lead others to Jesus Christ. How about the people you come in contact with? Do they look at you and say, that brother, that sister carries a burden? You can tell they care about my soul. Friend, this should characterize us as the people of God. Do you ever get concerned that the billions of people around the world are lost and on their way to a devil's hell? Do you share Paul's concern? Do you remember a time when you was more concerned and more burdened for the lost. Do you? Do you remember that time when you carried a heavier burden? Is more concern? Has your concern grown cold? We've seen a real test of our level of concern can be seen in our action. Are you praying for the lost? Are you witnessing? Do you witness for Jesus Christ? At least doing your best to get them to church, to get them to Sunday school, get them under the sound of the gospel, to get them to revivals, to get them to the house of God. If you realize that your burden for the loss has been minimal or grown cold, then I ask you to take a fresh look at what happens to souls that die lost. Do you know what happens to souls that die lost? Right now, already, they're dead in trespasses and in sins. And they're out here in the world trying to fill their emptiness with sinful pleasures, worldly possessions. But the day's coming when they're going to die without God. Their souls will be carried away from God to be in a place of outer darkness throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, hear the cries of agony and regret, and put some unbeliever that you know in this picture. Do we care enough to carry a burden? I pray that we will not go to sleep without thinking about our mothers and our fathers and our children, our grandchildren, and our brothers, and our sisters, and our neighbors, and our friends who are heading headlong into a devil's hell. I pray that we will feel the intense burden for those souls who are not saved and seek their salvation. I'll be honest, occasionally, even the best of God's laborers get lax in their burden to see souls saved. But if God's people do not consistently carry a burden for the souls of men and women and boys and girls, who will carry the burden? It's time to seek for a passion, a new passion, or a renewed passion for the lost. The passion for lost souls must come from the heart of Christ. From Him we must seek it until we find it. No man that's here or anywhere else can kindle in himself that celestial fire. It must come from the live coal from the altar above. You just can't make up your mind, okay, I'm going to have a burden. That burden comes from a live coal from above. Not everyone is called to be a Whitfield. Not everyone is called to be a Charles Finney. Not everybody's called to be a D.L. Moody. But we've all been called to bear fruit, both in the spirit and the fruit of souls. God has called everybody to bear fruit, both of the Spirit and also the fruit of souls. I tell you, there's no greater joy than to lead a person to the transforming experience of Christ. The more you taste this joy, the more you will want God to make you a soul winner. How can you increasingly find this joy in your own experience? By asking God for a new or a renewed passion for soul. Charles Spurgeon said it best when he said, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap over our bodies And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our extortions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. If they go to hell, they have to get over our bodies to get there. But we're doing all we can to stop them. If they go to hell, let them go to hell with our arms about their knees, begging them not to go in that direction. I trust if you need to make a commitment to be a witness for Christ, this will be the time.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We'd like to remind you that today is the first day of our fall camp meeting here at the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street in Newark, Ohio. Pastor Roger Decker would like to invite each and every one of you to join us here at the camp meeting. Camp meeting will continue through next Sunday, August the 8th. Each day there will be two main worship services. The morning service will begin at 10 o'clock. The evening service will begin at 7 p.m. Starting on Monday afternoon, there will be a teaching service held each day at 3 o'clock and will go until 4. If you need transportation for any of these services, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We certainly hope to see you at the camp meeting. I see it's time to leave again for today. But before we leave, I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us today. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to join us here again next week at this same time to the Church of God radio broadcast. Until then, dear ones, may God bless and be with each one of you, is our prayer.